feel that we ought to come, all of us who can tonight, and wait before the Lord for a few minutes at least. Take time. We have a little after meeting often here at camp, and we're encouraged to stay and think about the things that we've heard in the meetings, what the Lord is teaching us, or what he's saying to us. Maybe in your devotions today, he dropped something in your heart that's been so strong there that you haven't heard a word I've said. or the experiences that you've had today were all eclipsed by the word that he dropped into your heart. Maybe it was set apart. Or maybe it was something very personal just for you. When God's working in your heart, he lays his finger on something. Maybe he's convicting you of something that he wants you to put aside, that he wants you to repent of. He wants you to bring to the blood, bring to the cross, confess and forsake. You find mercy, whatever it is. Here's a chance that we have, an opportunity we have to deal with God, and it's very precious, and it's right to do. It's right not to neglect this, especially when I don't say, okay, it's late, let's go to sleep, but rather when I say, it's good tonight to take a little time. Take a little time with Jesus. Just bow low at his blessed feet. I feel we ought to do that tonight. Before we do, we're going to just read a psalm and think about it for a few minutes. I don't know why this psalm, because it doesn't seem to go along fully with what we've been talking about tonight. And I already have in mind what song I want to use when we go to prayer. We'll see about that. And this seems, I don't know. But I know that I'm supposed to read it, and I believe that it's for someone here. And I think for all of us, it is the Word of God. And it's the second beatitude, that the psalm starts with the word blessed. It's a great beatitude. It's the testimony, it's the great testimony of a great man of God, his servant David, the man after his own heart. And Psalm 32 is a great beatitude. It begins on a truly joyous note, as it ends with great joy, a jubilant note. Blessed. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Remember when my father had us memorize this psalm? We kids learn Psalm 32. I know the kids in CCCMD are learning Psalm 119, but we weren't quite there. We learned Psalm 32, Psalm 23, Psalm 1, you know, the ones that we could handle. But I think you're learning at least part of it, right? At least that's what Brother Daniel told me. Or are those the younger ones?
Yeah.
Oh, the younger ones, the ones that can still memorize, yeah. I teach these old codgers, you know, in my Sunday school class, some of them, there are some younger ones in there too, but when it comes time to memorize, some of them are, can't do that anymore at my age. So that's their repeated excuse. No, we can't, no, when you get my age, you'll know. Well, I asked someone who was a little older that seemed to be very sharp, you know, is that true? Is that really true? And she said to me, that's really not true. Ooh. And I think what she said, it seems right to me, although I haven't read a study about this, and I'm not sure, but she said, keep at it. If you keep at it and you keep your mind active and you keep it challenged like this with such projects and make it, just force it to work, it responds to that exercise. It does. And you can memorize at an older age. So if you've given up hope, just, what does it say in Peter? Gird up the loins of your mind. We'll use that. We'll pick it out of context and use it there and say, come on, you can do it. But anyway, I remember when we memorized Psalm 32. This verse, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Well, if I'm quiet and I'm roaring all the day long, what does that have to do with my bones? It was a little difficult. I learned the words, but I wasn't sure what it meant. But you know when you... Well, let me read the rest. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. It's a wonderful psalm, and I just want to give it to you tonight. Read it. Read it again, maybe before you go to sleep, or maybe tomorrow. Read it again and think of that blessedness. The Apostle Paul quoted David in Romans 4, and he said, this man of God in the Old Testament spoke about the blessedness of having our hearts free from sin, forgiveness of sins, not earned through our own merit. But God justifies the ungodly. God forgives and makes righteous the ungodly. There is no one who is godly in himself. There is no one who is righteous. No, not one. In Romans 3, there's a 14-count indictment. I believe it's mostly taken from the Psalms. And who's indicted there? The whole human race. There is none righteous, no, not one. Like you said to me yesterday, none good but God. Remember? Was that yesterday? Jesus said that. Or, yes, he said, why are you calling me good? No one is good but God. Someone came to him, you know, trying to flatter him a little bit, good master, he said. And Jesus said, why are you calling me good? No one's good but God. Well, we know Jesus was good. What was Jesus saying? I think he was probably saying, no one is good but God, and if you do not accept me as God, then why are you calling me good? Good master. None righteous, no, not one. All the world sinful and corrupt and vile before God. And these things are written in the holy law of God that every mouth might be stopped. Think of it. When God goes into the judgment seat, who will have a word to say? God. Before God, every mouth will be stopped. And there's only one righteousness that will avail in that day, and that's the righteousness of Christ. And here's David speaking about his moisture being turned into the drought of summer and his bones waxing old. You know why? He kept quiet about his sin. It weighed heavy upon him. It was a burden that was too heavy to bear. He's testifying here. This is the same event that Psalm 51 is written about. David had committed grievous sin. He was a man after God's own heart. But you know, he committed sin against God. It had been written in God's holy law, "Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery." And David had committed the sin of murder. He had had a man murdered in order to cover up his sin of adultery. And both of those awful crimes were punishable by death under the system of the old covenant under which David lived. He could have been killed, punished. His crimes were punishable by death. But he tried to cover them up, to keep them quiet, and he succeeded. But inside there was this turmoil. He says, "My bones waxed old." In the NIV, it says, "When I kept silent, my heart wasted away through my groaning all day long." There was an inner turmoil, unrest, because of that unconfessed sin. And when the prophet was sent by God to him, you know the story, where he pointed out his sin to him. It was quite a while later, and all this must have been going on. It seems that Psalm 51 may have been written first. It's a psalm of it's a penitential prayer where he appeals to God for his grace and mercy according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. "Blot out my transgressions. I have sinned against you, O God. I have sinned against you, you only. I've done this evil in your sight. Whatever you do, you're clear, Lord. I don't deserve your mercy." That's what he says there in that psalm. "Oh God, however you deal with me, it will be righteous and just. But oh God, I appeal to you for your mercy and for your forgiveness. And then beyond that, I need you to change my heart. I need you to make me pure. Don't only forgive me, but cleanse me. Create a clean heart in me. Renew a right spirit within me. Give me the joy of salvation. Let that be restored to me, O Lord." Really, Psalm 51 is one that we could look at separately. I believe a little bit later, or you could look at separately. I believe a little bit later he probably wrote this psalm upon further reflection. But he says, when during that period, "Oh, that had such an effect on me, such an effect on me." And it goes on to say, "Day and night your hand was heavy upon me." Not that he was telling anybody about it. This was, I suppose, going to be something, you know how they say, between you, me, and the lamppost, we'll take this to the grave. This little secret. But Nathan pointed it out. "You're the man. You've sinned. And God is going to bring punishment upon you." And do you know what happens in the narrative too? As soon as David says he sinned, Nathan says, "Your sins are forgiven." Immediately, just as it says here in his testimony in verse 5. "I acknowledged my sin unto thee. Day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. God must have been preparing David for the visit of Nathan. And oh, how he used the prophet Nathan on that day to tell him that story that aroused his ire, his righteous indignation. And then that man, well, you know the story, so we don't take the time now, but that man doesn't deserve to live. You are the man. You are that man. But God forgave him. Did David receive special treatment because he was the king? He received mercy from God. The answer to that question, I believe, is a resounding no. David had many, many consequences because of that sin. One of them we heard about on Sunday. The taking of the kingdom from him for a time, and then the awful things that happened in his family, the violence, the hatred, the murder right in his own family, the incest. Awful things happened to David. But God forgave his sin, and God cleansed his heart, and God renewed his spirit, and God set him to holy service too. You see that in Psalm 51. We don't have time to go through this too fully tonight, but I was so impressed, even as the Lord was quickening us and pouring out His Spirit upon us, that we ought to speak for a few moments, or at least present this psalm and put it before us. Oh Lord, You forgive sins. You forgive sins. We're all sinners, and we don't make light of that. There are three words here for sin in the beginning of this psalm: transgressions, sins, and then sin in the NIV. In the King James, transgression, sin, and iniquity. And all of us are transgressors. That speaks of our rebellion against God, our waywardness, how we've gone astray, how we've gone our own way. In the pride of our hearts, we wouldn't bow, we wouldn't go His way, we wanted to do what we wanted to do. That's our transgression. And then the word that's translated sin, the second word, has the meaning of missing the mark, not coming up to God's holy standard. He is such a holy God, His righteousness so perfect. He dwells in a light to which no sinful man, no man can approach. And we are vile in His sight. We are, every single one of us. And that's what the third word speaks of. But first, I should say, we have not come up to His holy standard. The prophet Isaiah says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Try as you might to be a good person and to come up to what you ought, to live as you ought to, and it's not good enough, and it can never be good enough. No matter how you try, it's not good enough. We need Christ's righteousness. We need Christ's cleansing. We need His forgiveness, His cleansing, and His indwelling, and His sanctifying work in order to please Him. And oh, how thankful we can be that He has come to save us from our sins, to forgive us, and to cleanse us, and to sanctify us through and through. And that's His work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now the iniquity, the third one. That's our vileness. That's our vileness. We are so utterly perverse, even the best of us. Maybe you're the best person in your row. Maybe you wouldn't say it, but you kind of know it. You're still utterly vile. You are utterly vile in the sight of a holy God. And there's only one remedy for sins. David's experience looked forward to what Jesus did for us on the cross. Our experience looks back to the cross, Jesus' cross work, where he took our place, bore our penalty. And because he did, he is the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins, and our transgressions are forgiven. As we come to him and put our trust in him, and our sins are covered. Three words for sin, three things that God does with our sins. Here in this passage, there are more things, but right here, he forgives them, he covers them, and he doesn't count them against us. And that's so precious. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. But then it says, and in whose spirit is no guile. I think he's pointing also to God's work of sanctification in us. All of us are deceitful. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the hearts. Only the Lord's remedy will cure us from this serpent bite, the poison of sin. But it's a wonderful remedy. It's a perfect remedy. And we can come to him. That song we sang about the streams of living water says, oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the waters free where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus' salvation can save us. Hallelujah! What a Savior who can take a poor, lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, 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 hallelujah. Jesus ransomed me. This is the great testimony of a great man, and there's much more here, but we don't want to take the time tonight. I just felt impressed to present this psalm, to lay it before you. It's a wonderful psalm. I'd love for you to read it. I'd love for you to get it into your heart. Psalm 32. Anybody want to memorize it? Be my guest. You'll be blessed if you do. But only Jesus can save us from sin and self. David lived under a system of sacrifices and offerings. And I'm sure there was a sacrifice made for David's sin. There was blood shed, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But all those sacrifices pointed forward to the perfect sacrifice. Another song I was singing today, besides Jesus Gives Me, L-I-F-E, was not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain, by Isaac Watts. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sin away. All our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. My faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. My soul looks back to see the burden thou didst bear while hanging on the cursed tree, and knows her guilt was there. Believing, we rejoice to see the curse remove. We bless the Lamb with cheerful voice and sing his bleeding love. He makes us clean. He forgives our sins. He cleanses our hearts. He frees us. He makes us free. We're redeemed by the power of his blood. We don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to serve sin. We don't have to be slaves to sin or self. No, he makes us those that the last verse talks about. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. How blessed we are. How happy we are. We're not upright in ourselves. How did we become upright in God's sight? Because of Jesus, the Lamb of God, our Savior. And David's testimony ought to be ours. I trust it is. I trust these things stir our hearts. They ought to stir our hearts. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that my sin is gone. My sins are nailed to the cross. I bear them no more because you bore them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the one to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Think of it. If God remembered all of your sins against you, what would that mean? What would that mean? On that day when he judges men for their sins, it would mean death, destruction, hell, eternal separation from his holy, glorious presence. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. O Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you save us from sin, save us from self. Fill us with yourself. Give us your life. Hallelujah. That's what you do for us. That's what you do for us, Lord. What mercy, what love, and what grace. Stir my heart, Lord. Warm my heart. Fill my heart with your praises all the day long. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. What language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. I'm thankful that you saved me from my sins. I thank you that you saved me from myself and you give me yourself. Hallelujah. What a glorious exchange. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's not just one time. Listen, moment by moment, I exchange my poor, defeated life for his glorious, victorious life. Oh, wow. There's a connection anyway, isn't there? In all of this, moment by moment, I exchange my poor, defeated life for his glorious, victorious life. Oh, Lord, increase our faith. Help us to do it. Help us to live that way by your grace. Counting on you. Laying our lives down. Receiving your glorious life. Hallelujah. Well, that's the only way to live. Life more abundant in Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.